Hello, and welcome to episode 85 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where the small press makes one hell of a big noise. I'm your host, Vince Hunt, creator of the Red Mask from Mars and Stalkerville. I don't think I have a cold anymore, so you can probably understand the words I'm saying. And joining me for another weekly dose of comics this week are writer...
Jackie Chan.
Writer, artist, and creator of the webcomic Vanguard, and the man who doesn't interrupt me when I'm trying to introduce him, Dan Butcher.
Danny Esmond. Hello, Dan.
Dan, the Choose contributor, comic writer, boiled egg shot putter, and general bastard of the show, Tony Esmond.
Quite like that.
General bastard. That actually sounds like
general
some
boss.
Yeah.
Oh, it sounds like something out of Serial Killer, one of those little stories like the Caning Commando.
Yeah.
General bastard.
We was all in one place at the same time yesterday.
For a change.
I know.
And it didn't go too badly.
World didn't explode.
The building didn't burn down. If you don't know what we're talking about, this weekend, well, yesterday, as the crow flies, as we record, was the 2000 AD, it was the 40th year celebration, wasn't it? The Thrill Fest.
Yeah.
Celebrating 40 years of the galaxy's greatest comic. Isn't that what they used to call it? They had some sort of phrasing. Do they still call it that? Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So, took place in Hammersmith. We were all together in one room. The Awesome Pod met up there. We hugged, we cuddled, we had general affection for each other and for comics,
yeah,
didn't we?
Yeah, it was and a good day, wasn't it?
And
a lot of, I'd say, 2000 AD's stories focus on bleak, kind of apocalyptic cities. So it was at home in Hammersmith.
Yeah. In the snow.
Yeah.
In the sort of light snow and freezing cold.
Yeah. Helped me get into the mood.
My favourite bit was when we went to that restaurant and you were in the toilet when your pizza arrived, Vince, and I told the woman you're my dad.
Yeah, you seem to be telling a lot of people that throughout the day. Unbelievable. I've just got no comeback for it either. Because you make me look fucking haggard.
You look like a new romantic in one of the pizzas I took.
Oh,
what do you reckon?
Oh, God. I've heard a lot about a band called Flock of Seagulls that apparently...
Since that picture came out.
Yeah. So,
I think it looks right.
Less said about it,
fine.
Better. All right, don't fluff me up, lads. Come on. let's talk about some 2000 AD. It was a great day, wasn't it?
It was
indeed.
Very good.
Yeah,
we had an absolute blast, didn't we?
Yeah.
You came on the bus, didn't you?
Yes. I just want to state on the record, it was a National Express. It wasn't a
mega bus.
Like everyone else was telling me. Yes, I met up with Daniel Butcher in London, and then we wandered hand in hand.
Yeah, he had to show you how to use the tube, and you were fine, weren't you? It was exciting.
Yeah, it was very interesting being in the Big Smoke. But thanks to Dan Butcher, I didn't get lost. And he got me to where I needed to go. Oh, no, that sounds a bit weird. So then we got there and met up with Tony Esmond. An awful lot of 2000 AD fans.
A lot of people we knew as well, weren't there?
Lots of people we knew.
I
thought the event was really well run. From what I could see, it was great. Mm. Loads of great panels and, they were showing, was it a Strontium Dog fan film?
Yeah, film. And it was like an extended version, wasn't there?
Yeah. Which we didn't get to see, but hopefully it'll...
To be fair,
I think a lot of people didn't get in, did they?
Yeah. Most of the talks and showings, not everyone could get in. There was such a high demand.
Yeah.
Like the Pat Mills one, which we'll talk about a bit later, we was in there 40 minutes before it started, and it was already a third full, and there was people who couldn't get in. Yeah.
And what else was there? There was so much there. There was some crazy cosplay going on. Some of these characters that I didn't recognise.
I was standing there with Adam Sharif, chatting to him from the Orbiting Pod and Orbital Comics, and this bloke, completely in white body paint with big wings, walked over and said, "Oh, can you hold my carrier bags?" I'm like, fucking hell. Hold my carrier bags.
Why did he make
what?
A beeline for you, do you think?
Well, somebody was trying to take his picture with a backdrop of something or other. I'm not sure if it was the motorbikes. He said, "Oh, can you hold my carrier bags?" And Adam went, "No, I'm not holding your carrier bags," which is very sensible of him. And I held his carrier bags, and I had a white powder all over my hands. I think people believed the rumors that I'd been snorting cocaine in the toilets.
Yeah.
And then for the whole day, I had this greasy white shit on my hand that wouldn't wash off.
Oh,
so Farmer knows how he got.
I wonder what that
was. Yeah, that's my excuse anyway.
That stuff. There were people like doing live drawing sessions. Everyone on the tables was.
Oh, there wasn't there. Yeah, I watched the Charlie Adlard one. That's very good. But Adam was hosting that. He did very well. He must have been knackered because he did loads of those throughout the day.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That was fascinating. They had a 3D printer going, printing 3D 2000 AD characters.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're kind of near the sign-in area at the front when you go in on the right.
Those figures 2000 AD stall. Yeah.
Yeah, and just off to the left by that the fan, Rogue Trooper fan film thing, they had the desk there and they were like making a figure.
I went to a raffle for something to do with that.
Yeah, you did say you entered a raffle for something.
Yeah.
You entered a raffle?
Well, no, that's me all over, isn't it? Community spirited.
Community something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, that, you know, there was so much great stuff going on. The guest lists that were there, you know, all the people that were at their table, you had, like, Pat Mills, Alan Grant.
Yeah.
Go on.
Dave Gibbons.
Carlos Wagner.
Carlos Esquera, Duncan Fegredo, Sean Phillips, Dave Taylor, fucking Clint Langley. You name anyone, apart from, I think, probably Mark Miller, Grant Morrison, and Alan Moore, there was pretty much a Neil Gaiman. Neil Gaiman was only in the prog, I think, virtually almost once. Yeah. I think pretty much everyone else was there, weren't they?
Yeah.
You know, who was able to go. Yeah, yeah, it was incredible, wasn't it? At one point, Alan Grant was just sitting on his own, wasn't he? I just went and spoke to him.
Yeah.
Got to sign an old prog. Well, like, what a gent he is. What a nice geezer. Yeah.
Yeah, there's lots of great people there. Saw some amazing original artwork as well.
Yeah, we did, didn't we? Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
That's like Chris Weston, wasn't it? Very different atmosphere to some of the cons I've been to.
Yeah.
It almost felt like a family event in some respects. Like,
yeah.
Everyone seemed like very kind of in, and it was nice, and everyone was well humoured.
Not a Funko in sight.
No. No.
Yeah, thank God.
That's very true. I'd never thought about that, but yeah, you're quite true. Yeah. It was very fan intensive in the sense of like you would see these huge queues for people at their tables, and you know these were real passionate fans. And I like 2000 AD. I love 2000 AD, but you know, I don't have the passion that a lot of these people do. They knew exactly what they wanted from that event, and I think it delivered, I'd imagine.
Oh, it did completely, didn't it? Yeah, the queues that were for Pat, Dave Gibbons, John Wagner and Carlos were just fucking never-ending, weren't they?
Yeah, ridiculous. Yeah,
just kept going and kept going.
Pat liked to talk to the people. Yeah. It wasn't like a kind of do the photo and flick at them and like a production line. You wanted to engage and talk to people. That's, I think, why it took his queue took a little longer to kind of get through.
It was great, wasn't it? And they were all like that. There was nobody there you couldn't go and have a chat to, was there?
No.
You know, I went. I think one of the first people I spoke to was Duncan Fegredo, who just, as usual, just took the piss out of me for about 10 minutes.
Classic.
And then gave me a postcard.
He had that the werewolf, Judge Dredd werewolf print on sale that was going around on Twitter. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, so good. Yeah.
One of the things going around, and you see these guys' artwork. We'll put some up on the page. But it's like another world. You kind of look, they've got the real pages there, and you go and look at them, and it's like, holy fuck, it's like it's been printed, because there's no mistakes. It's just so clean.
How long did we look at Chris Weston's pages for?
Yeah.
That was from Prog 2000, was it? I think
it was,
Fucking hell, just incredible stuff, wasn't it?
And you look at the crowd scene, and the background faces aren't a little shape. They're like, that's a face.
Yeah.
And he had really pages. Good. He had pages for like 40 to 60 quid, some of them, weren't they?
Yeah.
You know, the amount of work went into
them.
His
work was really interesting as well, because it looked to be some workings, like if he had space on the page.
Oh, yeah, down the bottom of the page and stuff, didn't he?
He would have some, a focus on a hand, you know, to try and get the hand right. And then you would see actually on the page, obviously, where he's taken that reference, you know, he'd create his own reference for the panel that he's creating on the page.
Not sure if that was to be put in later. Digitally put in. I don't want to say that's what did happen, but like he did a real detailed big hand, and then the hand he had drawn on the page was like an outline, so that the other hand could be photoshopped on there later.
That makes sense. Yeah,
I don't want to kind of besmirch him if he wasn't doing that.
Yeah,
That's what he seemed to me to be doing.
Mm. You used to get that with the original pages, didn't you? You used to get where they've sketched it out, sketched like a face or something out on the back of the page and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I find it fascinating as well, looking at original artwork, especially stuff, you know, the Judge Dredd things, just looking at the prices. And that always fascinates me, like how much a character will change a price of something. Naturally, that's how it's going to be. But we were looking at some pages where they were jam-packed with beautiful detail, you know, huge crowd scenes, you know, the cityscapes were wonderful. There was no Judge Dredd on it, for instance.
And there
would be a couple of £100 difference between that kind of page and a page that's got Dredd on it in three or four panels.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. I've got a Norm Brayfogle Batman. It's actually written by Alan Grant, actually. We were talking about it yesterday. On my wall here, and it's just got a headshot of Batman. But if it was a full shot of him, you may as well times that price by four.
Yeah,
you know, it's incredible.
That's crazy. Do you know what I mean?
They want the money shot, don't they? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We haven't talked too much about like original art on the show. We'll have to do a show about
get someone who buys it properly. Yeah.
Because I don't have that many original pages, hardly any actually.
But
I'd love to have a huge collection of it. You know, who wouldn't? But it does fascinate me. You know,
I think you need to really choose a page that means something to you.
Yeah,
I think that's the thing. You know, I mean, I've got 10-20 framed on the walls in here, and it's pages from comics that meant an awful lot to me. I think if you're just going, I want a Spider-Man or you know something like that. Then okay, maybe not. You know.
To get the actual page from a comic you really love.
Yeah. Mm. I've got a page from a comic here that's 40 years old. Mm. You know, the comic's from 40 years ago. And to have that original piece of art on your wall is incredible, you know. Mm. Just bends my mind.
I would look at the individual piece as well, though. I mean, there was some of those Chris Weston pages that I would just love to have on my wall as an art piece. Because it's something that I may not have read that issue, but I know if I had that original piece of artwork, I could just stare at that for hours.
Yeah,
you know,
his art though. God, why isn't he working more?
Yeah,
why isn't he in every single American comic? You know,
Of them were just fantastic. Yeah. I just couldn't believe that they're not working a lot more. Or there's that one chap I spoke to, Carl Richardson. And he had like a book open of his work, and I questioned, like, there was one piece where he had done a big thumbnail, and then the final piece that had appeared on one of the progs.
Right.
And we were talking about like making the thumbnail and getting a certain energy. I've heard this from a lot of artists, and I can certainly attest to it.
Okay.
You get a certain feel or an energy in a thumbnail, and trying to reproduce that into the final piece rarely does it all come across.
Yeah.
And there's many techniques that people like to blow it up and then draw behind, have the main drawing, the original drawing behind it, and then draw over the top. But still, there's a loss.
Yeah.
And when you have sort of I get that. And then when you got the guy, a professional, saying exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Go, oh, okay. Yeah, nice one.
Have you ever worked with a writer who's done thumbnails for you, or layouts for you, or anything like that?
No, never.
Okay. That's interesting. I've done it with one artist, just to try and explain what I was doing. In fact, I've done it with a couple. I did it again this week, just to sort of get across what I was trying to explain.
That's totally fine, because sometimes it's like I said, it's really difficult to explain visually, and if you get a quick little sketch, and as long as you're communicating what needs to be communicated, that's great.
If you've got a certain idea for the rhythm of the way the page looks.
Yeah, and where the words appear sometimes. Yeah. I think where the balloons appear sometimes, especially if it's a one-page splash or this is a sort of trippy page and I wanted it to flow in a certain way.
Yeah.
I think that's why I did it, but interesting.
Do you like writing trippy stuff, Tony?
No, and obviously no. I don't agree with hallucinogenics.
There was also some props from the Carl Urban.
There wasn't there, whether we tried on.
Like, he was like, fucking around with him.
That gave us a bunch of children just tucked up the back, trying on helmets.
It wouldn't fit on my head.
Well, yeah, we did discover the size of our heads. I have a large head. I can't wear party hats at Christmas. It's terrible. And I've discovered that Tony Esmond has the same problem.
That one helmet wouldn't go on my head. It looks like a sat top.
I think I was playing around with two helmets on the day. I think I had that early in the day, and it's definitely made for a smaller person because I couldn't get it all the way down.
You got a dummy, didn't you? You made me try a small helmet on.
So I just picked them up, but it was good. They had like some props in a glass case, and then they had a couple of like guns and helmets on that you could try on and let you take pictures of.
That was great, wasn't it? It was good.
Yeah,
that was good. And you could hold the strontium dog weapons as well. If you went over, they said, "Oh, look, you can have a go with this." That was pretty cool. Yeah,
they had quite a few people cosplaying as well, which
loads,
was really good.
Yeah. All different stuff, not just loads of like weary judges walking around. It was all different stuff, wasn't it, as well?
Yeah, there was two or three characters when I had to say to you, Tony, who's that? I don't know.
Same with me. No, I didn't recognise them all. Definitely, yeah. Yeah, the Durham Red was quite good. She was wandering around in her chainmail, wasn't she?
She was part of the film, though, wasn't she?
Yeah, she had vampire teeth in and everything, didn't she?
Yeah. So.
Yeah, and there was a Hammerstein as well, but I only saw his costume laid out on the floor as if he'd been beaten up and broken up.
Yeah. There was that chap, Blackblood, as well.
Oh, God.
That was interesting. That was coming to... the later one when we talk about
let's mention it now because you know what we're like, we'll forget. We're leaving the building with Pat and Lisa and James and Helen, we're going out to get a bite to eat, and walking down the escalator, and he sees Pat, doesn't he, this guy,
and then he shouts out, Patrick
and then he runs down the up escalator to get to us. And then Lisa's going, be careful, you're going to fall over. Be careful on the escalator. And he like legs it down. And we're just sort of going at the same speed as him, down the escalator, just staring at him. Yeah. And then things flew off his costume, and then we all had a picture with him, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It did make me laugh. Yeah.
God bless him.
Yeah.
Like he was in his element. It was like that was like the high point to the day for him. The last
thing ran off. Yeah. And when there was a picture being taken of him, he had the mask on, and then he just said, I'm smiling and I don't know why.
Yeah, I thought that was a bit of a weird thing to say. Yeah, maybe he meant something else by smiling. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, Tony, really?
He got some big laughs out of that. We all laughed.
Yeah, he cheered him up, didn't it? Yeah.
That was lovely.
Should we go through the list of people who were there?
Yeah, let's go for it. Go on.
Yeah, okay. So, Pat and Lisa Mills, who were our pals throughout the day, weren't they? And they were great entertainment. We went for a meal with them in the evening. Very, very good. Very interesting. And there'll be more of that in a minute. Gareth Hopkins, who was there. We saw him a lot of Gareth, actually, because he was one of the helpers, wasn't he? He was a droid.
He's always a help, isn't he, that boy?
he is. He did look a bit knackered. I saw a picture of him later on. He did look quite knackered.
Don't take any notice, Gareth. I thought you looked lovely.
Yeah, but attractive. Yeah. So he was quite a laugh. We sort of wandered around with him, didn't we, for a big chunk of the day.
Yeah.
Josh, whose name we forgot for about 10 minutes last week.
Yeah.
He was there. Where to drink with
him? He's a lovely guy. Pretty nice guy.
Yeah, good. Sarah Harris, who I think we've got some audio, which we'll probably never send out of us shouting at her from across the hall. Yeah. And then she came out and met us, didn't she? And then that caused her to not get into a talk she was trying to get into, I think.
Oops.
Izzy McAuliffe from the Cardiff Comic Expo. She was there. Had a good chat with her. The aforementioned Duncan Fregado, aforementioned Adam Sharif, Robin Harmon and Carl and the whole Orbital Comics gang. They were entertaining throughout the day. Jason Atomic, who we might hear of in a minute. John Freeman from Down the Tubes. He came and had a chat with us a couple of times and slapped me around the head for some reason, but that's all right. Used to that.
Don't need a reason.
No. James and Helen, who were attendees, and we had a good chat with them over meal last night, didn't we? They were good guys, young lady. And Gary from Comics Anonymous, who sort of surprised me and walked up. I didn't even know he was there, Gary, actually. And then we sort of wandered around. He was good entertainment. A friend of mine, Guy Carmichael, was there, who hung about with us all day and took the piss a lot out of us.
He's really funny.
Me. Yeah.
He says the C word almost as much as you.
And he kept trying to give me pep talks by rubbing my cheeks before the talk, which I thought was quite intimidating.
You wouldn't let me touch your cheeks.
No.
There's an audio you need to cut out.
And then A big thank you to, is it Owen Johnson, isn't it? And yes. Mike Mulcher, yeah, for organising the day, because they were like that. We actually gave Owen a pull at the end, and we said, yeah, "Oh, thanks a lot for, you know, getting us passes and that." And he said, "I've got a bottle of gin in my pocket."
Owen's also the man behind Beast Wagon, for those out,
yes,
there
who, yeah,
read that, which is a great book.
Yeah,
he seemed a bit blasted at the end, but that's totally understandable. I would be. Yeah. I wasn't even doing anything, and I felt a bit blasted at the end.
It was a show. Yeah. Oh, I bet you did. It was a show that actually it lasted longer than most conventions. Like, you know, by five normally, you know, half four or five, a convention is normally dying down or dead. You know, so some exhibitors, they clock off at 4 o'clock at some conventions. I don't understand. I never understand that. But this one was like, you know, the panel with Pat Mills finished at 6, didn't it? And we got out.
And then they were showing a movie after that, weren't they?
Yeah, and they were showing a movie after that, and there were people still milling around, you know, and it's still going. So
They were showing the documentary, the 2000 AD Future Shocks one, as well.
Even after that, there was an extended version of it, I think they showed after. And then apparently everyone was in the bar till like 4 a.m, but we went out, didn't we? We left the building for a bit, but I think it just kept going and kept going. But that's 2000 AD for you, isn't it? That's British comics, and I like the fact that is what British comics should be like. You know, it's just sort of, you know, there should be fist fights at a comic convention, shouldn't there? Let's face it. Not that I know.
No, they shouldn't. There's enough negativity in this world. We don't need it at a Comic Con. Thank you.
I just a little shout out to Gosh as well, because on Friday night there was a serial killer Read 'Em and Weep signing by Pat and Kevin O'Neill, and I went along, and it was really well organised by Steve Walsh, who organises the stuff at Gosh, and he's a good egg, and I went along for that, and then I went out for a bite to eat with Lisa, Pat and Dave, who didn't make it on the day, but it's Dave Hounds, good lad, and that was a really, really good thing. And then the following day we sort of carried on, didn't we, just in the same vein, really.
Lisa was concerned that they were going to have to take 30 or 40 copies of Read 'Em and Weep back home.
Yeah.
And they sold out.
By the afternoon, I think they had one left, didn't they?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Very quickly.
Yeah, so that was good. I mean, they could have sold, if they'd have just kept signing, they'd have sold out in the first couple of hours.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
But they were sort of something now. Yeah. Yeah. And rightly so. It's a good book.
Yeah.
And then at 5 o'clock, I got to do my talk with Pat, which seemed to go all right. I was a little bit nervous, but.
Dude, that went really well.
It went down really well.
Yeah, my favourite part of it was when Pat mentioned furries, and I pointed directly in the audience to where Vince was sitting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A large number of them sort of glanced around at Vince.
Yes. And I was put in a position where I couldn't respond. You can't really stand up in the middle of a sort of a busy panel and go, "Oh, fuck off," can you?
I can't mention the incident, but Vince got totally owned there, and later on in the day, I got totally owned by Lisa Mills. I can't mention what happened, but
oh god, yes,
absolutely just destroyed. Like, I can't come back to that. You've done me.
But I mean, Pat was great. Very good joke, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I know. I think we asked him. I asked him one final question, and then I thanked him, and he got a bit of a standing ovation in the room. And you know, he said, "Oh, this is quite touching." That, and rightly so. Fuck me, he started a comic 40 years ago. You know, and he's still full of passion for it now. Yeah.
We can mention the contest. That's a good moment to bring that
up. Oh, yeah, John did a contest. Yeah, good idea.
When you went to the 2000 AD event, they gave you a kind of goodie bag at the start, and it's got some couple of specials in it, some flyers and giveaways on the day. And we've collected that up, and we're going to give it out to one special awesome comic podcast listener. So if you didn't get to go on the day, this is, and you're a big 2000 AD fan,
yeah, you get the little back, don't you? So it's a little bit of memory of the day, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, but it'd be a nice thing to have. And we're going to set up a competition. What should we do? Do it on the Facebook? Like, we asked the question. Facebook. Yeah. And the question is, do you want to say it, Tony?
Okay, so we went to the audience for questions. We did sort of 45 minutes of an interview with me and Pat, and then we went to the audience. They asked a load of questions, and because we'd had a bit of a question that was sort of slightly off 2000 AD, I thought I'll finish it with one final question, just sort of cheer everyone up. And the question was, of everything you've written for 2000 AD, what is your favourite? And he answered it. And if you know what that is, I think you probably can guess, to be fair.
Mm. When he answered it, he got a round of applause and cheers.
He did. Standing ovation as well.
Yeah, so
a lot of people stood up.
Yeah. And if you get that, then you can win Dan's amazing prize.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Not in his pants.
Yeah. I usually have to force it onto people as opposed to give it away.
Oh, Dan.
At least just rub it. Don't force
that's
it.
That's a joke, everyone. Just qualify by that.
Oh, yeah. Please write in or ring Dan on 07984.
Yeah.
This is episode 5, also known winding Tony up. Weren't we before the speech about you're going to get someone asking a really obscure question.
In Prog 795, what was happening in the streets of Texas? Is that, you know, thinking, fuck me, oh, fuck off, mate. Do you know what I mean?
Like, we was laughing, so that's not going to happen. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And if you watch the talk, a specific question comes up, which just absolutely depth charges it out.
Yeah.
Like,
we
so grossly underestimated how in-depth the question was going
to
be.
Yeah. It was like someone wanted to prove how clever they were by asking a question that was actually nothing to do with 2000 AD. But Pat, you know, was really generous in his answer, wasn't he? And he used it to talk about a couple of other things. And
he
did well, but the bloke, you're like, really? Come on, mate.
You know? Yeah. Literally one of those questions someone asked to make themselves appear smarter.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Look at me. Yeah, it was a bit of one of those look at me ones.
It was this like flinging bamboo up against the oak tree. It was just Pat was just absolutely unflinching. I don't think there was one question you could have fired at him that he wouldn't be able to field. And, he just kind of an absolute commander of the audience.
Yeah.
Everyone was hanging on every word.
And I didn't get him to say furries, he just said that himself.
Yeah.
That was quite cool.
I know.
Yeah.
I certainly didn't expect what happened after he said it. Fucking hell.
There was a chuckle when someone asked a question. I'd highly recommend watching the video. I think you can watch it on Facebook. They did a live an event, but someone asked, essentially, they had read 2000 AD when they were smaller and they had troubles reading and it helped them to read, essentially. And he said, how would you get the kids of today to connect with the comic, and they asked Pat Mills how he would do it, and he suggested like go and find out what kids like playing the Call of Duty video game, or what was the quote, Vince, for the video game?
Like car thieves. People that steal cars or something.
And I glanced around and
knows more about video games than me.
there was some girl like sitting on the other side of the yard just absolutely doubled up
But he's right, because I know he tests stories on his on kids, you know, relatives and, you know, the kids of friends and stuff like that. He shows them to him and says, what do you think, you know, and that was good, you know. It really showed where he was going with that, I think, as well.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, yeah. I've got someone who's a chef and they give food to kids that they know,
right?
Dan gets into trouble, right? But then they give their honest opinion whether they like it or not. They don't. They've not got the kind of social narcissists to say, "Oh, that's good," even though they don't like it. Just to kind of, they go, "Ugh, it's horrible."
We're all too nice, aren't we? We should just be blatantly obvious and you know, answer things completely honestly, shouldn't we? You know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like if someone puts their artwork up and says, "I want an honest crit on this. Don't spare your feelings." You should. Ooh. That's what you should, to be a good artist and a good friend to that person.
Yeah,
you should. That's what you should do.
Yeah, but then again, I got a friend of mine, and she said to another female friend of mine, she said, "Oh, I can't really find a man. What do you think's wrong with me?" And my female friend told her. I'm really? Yeah,
it's a bit different from critiquing someone's drawing skills to their actual life,
size to their
face,
backside.
Your hygiene is atrocious.
Yeah, look at the size of your ass. Yeah,
so we said, look at the size of your ass, and that's like, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty savage drop kick.
Yeah. Saw your ass. Have you seen your backside? No, that was a parody. That was satire. Don't write it. Never go.
Yes. So it was a fantastic day all round, wasn't it, really?
Was really good. Yeah. They do a load of credit to the guys who organised it. Fuck me, I wouldn't want to do it, would you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Especially the load of 2000 AD fans who were famous for moaning about everything. Yeah.
Well, I think feedback's been fairly,
No, I think feedback's been fairly good, isn't it? I think I looked at the 2018 Facebook page and the forum, and everyone was saying how great it was. You know, yeah. I think the only shame was it was a reasonably small venue, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And they couldn't sell that many tickets.
But, yeah, because it was weird. When you went into the place, there was a booking, a signing in desk, and they had that in this room that was fucking enormous. It looked like it was out of the Overlook Hotel in The Shining.
Yeah.
Like this massive room with like the pillars and the kind of weird...
You could play football. Carpet. Yeah,
and exactly. And the desk was all the way at the back, wasn't it? So,
yeah. When we was walking over, I turned to Vince and said, why'd they put the desk at the fucking back of the room? You've got to walk like half a football pitch to get to the desk, and then you got to walk back. I don't know. Maybe in the morning it was a big queue, because we got in there about an hour after the doors had opened.
Yeah, so, but the queue for just, tickets that you bought was on the right-hand side, and that was snaking backwards and forwards. But I think I was there about 9:45 or something, and it wasn't too long then. You'd think that'd be the time when it would be long. Yeah, but there was quibble. No... sorry, mate?
There was a minor quibble having it in that room.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so, mate, I mean, we got 10 years till the 50th, haven't we? See what they're going to do then. Probably all be just jacked into our heads, won't we?
Yeah.
Just plug into the cyberspace and wander around.
We'll all be brains in jars just being wheeled around.
Well, we will be, won't we?
What they should take away from it is that they got a big, loyal fan base that is willing to... they're heavily invested in the material and the characters, and they should do more with it.
Yeah, they should.
One thing I did notice was, I mean, obviously it's 2000 AD, so Dredd is pretty much the first name you think of, but it was quite heavily Dredd-like in terms of artwork, prints, you know, just memorabilia and things like that. A lot of it was straight up Dredd.
Yeah.
And obviously there was things for like Road Trooper, Nemesis, etc. But there wasn't so much of the more modern 2000 AD characters. Some of which have grown to be quite a name, haven't they? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I know what you mean.
I mean, I'm not saying this is a bad thing. Because obviously, Dredd's loved by pretty much everyone, most people. Yeah. And I can understand that. But
I guess it's like when you go and see your favourite band do a gig. You want them to see
the greatest hits, don't you? Unless you're like
the greatest hits and classics.
Yeah. I mean, there was even stuff like I could have done with some Robo Hunter stuff or stuff like that.
I didn't see so much like Sinister Dexter. I didn't see so much.
The Iron Quinch, maybe Ace Trucking.
Yeah. I only saw one little thing on the wall for Halo Jones as well.
Yeah,
I just thought that'd have been a bigger thing.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. There was some Judge Anderson stuff, wasn't there, floating about?
Yeah,
I would have thought there'd been more than that. I tell you what was kind of refreshing, that it wasn't. There was none of this kind of lurid pin-up stuff.
No.
You know what I mean, when you go around a normal convention, you kind of like, all these comic book characters kind of. Virtually in the buff, and it felt like there's such a respect for the characters and the material here that they're not going to do that. They don't need that to do that to make a few quid.
So everyone was fairly polite as well, weren't they? There was no wishing in queues and stuff like that. It was all just sensible comic fans, really.
Yeah,
you know, like sort of fairly nice people, all, you know, pretty much of our age.
The only time I saw anyone sort of like pretty stressed out and rushing about. And that was just the people behind the bar.
Was it?
Yeah,
okay.
When I was getting drinks later in the day. But
It was good having the two bars. There was one sort of stand-up bar, which was actually in the convention, which was the Slane bar, wasn't it? Yeah. And then there was the hotel bar, which was quite a sort of chill. You could pretty much always depend on getting a seat there, couldn't you?
Yeah, that was handy.
We found somewhere to sit most times. It's quite nice.
I doled out some cakes. It went down well.
You brought cakes with you. That was nice, wasn't it? Yeah.
Dan Butcher comes prepared. With cakes and jelly babies, don't you, Dan?
Once a Boy Scout, always a Boy Scout.
Maybe you're the last Boy Scout.
Nice.
I had them left over from when I went to school. I didn't go to the school the other day. Jelly babies.
I could have done with some more back issues.
Yeah,
like
I think it's only Orbital doing them.
Yeah, I mean, they brought some good stuff along with them, but I would have liked to have seen... You know, maybe some magazines and, you know, more. There was a couple of annuals, more annuals, and, you know, the American comics they've done. And, you know, Judge Dredd still, you know, pretty much you can find Judge Dredd stuff still, couldn't you?
book collections they were selling? The white ones.
Yeah. The ones that came out every week or every month, didn't they? The first one was 99p or something, and then, yeah, they're sort of releasing. I can't remember the name of them now.
But you were saying, Vince, that you kind of, some of the stories, you wouldn't know where to start with kind of getting into them.
There's so much of it. I was looking at some of like the collections on the, it was the 2000 AD table, wasn't it, where they had all the, the old collections. And some of them I'd really like to get into. I mean, I'd like to read more Slane. I mean, I'm reading the Britannia Chronicles, which is amazing.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't know where to start with the early stuff. Do you know what I mean? Or certainly, even Dread. I think if I was to start Dread, I remember you saying to me, Tony, you know, start maybe with Volume 9, because that's when it gets a little more.
Yeah, there's a little bit more of the longer story. I mean, if I had to say start somewhere, I'd probably say start with The Block War or Cursed Earth, because there's like a nice long story there.
Yeah.
But after that, I think more because there's artists there that you'd recognise perhaps a bit more.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But if you go in with the Dark Judges and Boland, that's just fucking dynamite as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
When they first turn up. Even before then, when the Judge Death turns up. But yeah, there's. I think, obviously, with all the characters, they do have a lot of stuff on them, but Dread, arguably, he's got twice the amount as any of them.
Oh, yeah. Surely,
at least.
They're nice collections, and they're, I mean, that Robusters book Pat and Lisa gave me, it was only 25 quid, and it's a huge hardback.
Yeah.
You know, with all colour in it and everything like that. You know, that's lovely. They're not expensive, their trades. When you think that a straightforward Marvel trade these days is 20 quid.
Yeah.
You know, you're paying 25 quid for a big, oversized hardback. It's, you know, good stuff. And they were discounted, weren't they?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that one with the white trades, which I can't remember the name of, they were doing 3 for 20 quid or something, right? 4 for 20 quid, something like that.
For 20, right at the end, right at the last knocking.
That's fiver a book. That's fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
Should have got.
It's not far off an issue of some comics. Yeah.
Should have. Should have got that.
The only I would say issue, and it's nothing to do with the organisation of the event, that we brought up a few times, and this is just this is general across the board convention stuff I'm talking about here, is when you've got nice, lovely A3 prints, and you know a lot of people want to get these prints, but they hold off on getting them because they don't want to carry them around all day. You know, there's no tube.
Yeah, there's no. Yeah, we talked a bit about this, didn't we? Yeah.
I mean, it's fair enough to give people like a plastic bag, but how many people have bought a print at a convention early in the day, and by the end of the day, it's squashed, it's been creased. You know, you could take as much care as you can trying to stop it getting creased, but it's just natural it's going to happen. I'd like to see more sort of people who sell like prints and stuff offer maybe like tubes or, you know, some way to keep your prints better.
I mean, if I went there and they said, look, we'll send it to you in a tube, we'll post it to your home address for, you know, 4 quid, I'd say do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or the other alternative, and I mentioned this on the day, I don't know if you two agree, is I'm quite happy to have A4 prints.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've only got so much space on the walls, and there was some of them there that I'd have loved to have had just... And like you said, Vince, they're easier to get framed because you can just buy a click frame for them.
Yeah.
You know, if you really want to.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of, like, Indian small press creators and illustrators that offer mainly A4 prints, don't they? They don't do...
Yeah, they do, actually, SJ does, Cognition didn't it?
Gav Mitchell, Dan Harris, you know, they've all got high-quality A4 prints.
Yeah, and I like that, because you know they're not going to get damaged in your bag on the way home.
Yeah.
You know they're not going to be too cumbersome if you've got to get a plane or a train home, whatever you're going to do. You know, that sort of thing. It's a very small niggle, but it's just a suggestion. Yeah. You know.
We've got to be honest across the board, haven't we?
Sorry, mate?
We've got to be honest across the board,
haven't we? Yeah. There were some great prints there, though. That Nemesis by... Was that Chris Weston as well?
That was a Chris Weston one.
It was.
Yeah.
Was Sarah managed to get the mono print of that, and it was... Amazing.
It was beautiful.
It was, yeah.
I'd have had that Dread one. I've got my eye on that.
What, the one with the sort of, with all the different billboards behind it, electronic billboards?
That was fantastic. Great,
yeah.
Yeah.
They were all by, if I believe, is Vice Press.
Yes.
Wasn't it? So, if you want to know what we're talking about, I'm sure look on their website and they'll
have them here. It's www.vice-press.com. Yeah. Or Vice @VicePressNews on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, slightly more expensive prints, but it's high quality printing you get. You get quality stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So well. And if you've got an understanding partner, you can get them put up in the front room because they've got that quality to them, don't they? But
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always ask for permission first. Yeah.
So in the when it wrapped up, we went out for a same tweet afterwards, like I said, with Pat Mills and Lisa. And their two friends.
Yeah, James and Helen. They were good company actually, weren't they?
Yeah,
James is a big Cerebus fan, so we had a big Cerebus chat with him.
And then we talked about the film we made. He goes, "You guys know John Woo?" And I was like, "Yeah,
oh, yeah,
hell yeah."
Do we know John Woo? Of course we do.
That'd be brilliant. Yeah, it's kind of. I would have gone out for a night with James, chatting comics and films and stuff. He's at the right ledge.
And they were good because, like Pat and Lisa, they also got our jokes. Yeah. Think sort of three idiots sitting at the corner of the table snickering like the in-betweeners or whatever it is we look like.
Well, they were sort of trying to talk about which the market of kind of like who would appreciate the Read 'Em and Weep.
Yeah,
and we suggested Chris Morris, and that's the that's an absolute market that would love, from what I've read, would love Read 'Em and Weep.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I was thinking maybe like Garth Marenghi, and even like the Mike Boosh crowd and all that sort of thing. I can see that up their street, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it is a good book. Yeah, very good. Have you got any further, Vince? Or
I've got a little bit further, and I'm loving it. It's making me laugh out loud. So,
I was desperate to fucking pick up a copy in the day, but never could get myself in the bloody line.
Ad queue. Yeah, we'll have to order one, won't we?
Yeah, I'll just order one off Amazon.
I mean, any book that's got, and here's a clip of a bit of dialogue from it's a description of a comic book, like some panels from a comic book, so it's dialogue from a comic book. And it says, "Yes, nine of the best for you, Fritz. Yvette, turn away. Put the tea on. It's time to carpet bum the Hun." Which is just laugh out loud moments. As well as like, it's a real dark sort of murder mystery type story, isn't it? So
yeah. It's weird, isn't it? Because we talked to Pat so much over the weekend. I can't remember what he actually said on the panel and what he actually said when we were having a coffee with him and stuff.
Yeah.
Weird, isn't it? Because I was thinking, he was telling me about how much, what a laugh he and Kevin O'Neill had writing it, you know, and coming up with this madness. But I can't remember whether he said that on the panel or not. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, we talked briefly about like Red Mask and Vanguard to Pat when we was at the table, and then his final words to me, he shook my hand, he went, "Oh, good luck with Vanguard," and I was just, I kind of floated to the underground station. That was really good.
The thing is, he said, "What comics?" I think it's Lisa said, "What comics do you make?" And you both told him, and he listens, and you know, yeah,
he's, like he was on the show. It's an absolute gentleman, real dude.
Yeah.
We did actually
genuinely interested, not feigning interest. Genuinely interested.
Yeah.
We did actually pitch him something. while we're in the restaurant.
Well, not really seriously.
Look, we'll let the listeners decide. It was an idea we created on the hoof while we were
in the bar.
Towards the end of the day. And rather than us talk about what it was, just have a little listen to this little bit of audio of us creating what could be probably the most disastrous comic ever made.
I'm saying Eisner Award nominee at least.
It's a future Eisner Award nominee. So check this out, folks. This is the end of the 2018 40th anniversary festival.
It's been good, isn't it?
Yeah, it has been good.
We're all tired.
We're
surprisingly tired.
Yeah, we just sat here away from everyone, aren't we?
Yeah, in the corner, ignoring the corner. Everyone.
Yeah,
but it has been a good breeding ground for ideas because we have come up with an idea, haven't we? Would you like to tell the audience?
We have. I can't really say too much because I'm essentially the star of it.
We're going to pitch it to Pat Mills later, aren't we? Over dinner. Yeah.
I've got a special trick to make sure it catches Pat's.
Oh, have you? What's that?
It's going to mention anti-establishment, and boom.
Yeah. Do you want to say the name of it?
Well, I'll say it. The working title is
Vince and his cat army.
Yeah.
Am I? Do you have a cat called Jamie? He's a bit of a wanker, isn't he?
Yeah, he would be a wanker.
Yeah.
So you're saying they're carrying you around in a kind of throne
The cats will carry me round like an Egyptian pharaoh while I'm wearing my pyjamas. There's one, there's a mongrel cat called Philip.
Phil the cat. Phil, he's edgy though, isn't he?
Phil the cat, yeah. He's only got one eye, not all his teeth, and he's got a weeping sore.
He will fuck you up.
He will fuck you up.
There's no intimacy with the cats. It's like if you're like...
No,
where are we going with this?
No,
where
no.
Did that come from?
Just, sex with the cats wasn't discussed. No, yeah. There was an allusion to...
It's all ages.
It's all ages comic.
It's all ages. It's all ages.
Oh, we said fuck a lot.
Yeah, and also it's, there is full on brutal violence.
Yeah, blowjobs.
Yeah. What? it's going to be a classic. Yeah. I think you know.
Watch this space for what Pat says later, because he might just green light it.
Yeah, might be. Yeah, might be. Yeah.
So check out 2000 AD.
Just remember where you heard it first.
Vince's cat army.
Vince's cat army.
So there's a robbery in progress. Deploy Vince's cats.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Call the cat van. You know, police have dog vans, don't they?
Yeah.
Vince's cat van.
So it'd be a cat van. Yeah. That smells like
right. Picture Vince standing in the bed set. He's got like,
why am I in a bed set?
Yeah. This is the story.
Yeah.
And why is my dressing gown, why is my dressing half open? Why is my dressing gown half open?
Because it's
is
funny.
He wearing any underwear?
No. Hang on, come on. If I've got a cat army, that is very dangerous.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, think of the claws.
Exactly.
And you might like that.
Phil would be on him.
Phil would claw your cock, wouldn't he?
All over it. Like a bloody scratching post. So we're losing that
one.
So we're losing that story. Right. Actually, might just get rid of. I just might get rid of Phil completely.
Yeah, I'm like him anyway.
Should we just actually? Should we just get rid of the story?
Yeah, fuck it. Let's think of something else.
Yeah, let's think of something else.
So there you go. Even though towards the end of that bit of audio, we were losing confidence in the idea.
Yeah,
but you know, we
should have taken that hint. Of...
I know. Look. It's still got legs. Maybe, I don't know.
I tried to give it the big. You know, like in the movie The Player, where he says it's raining. There's umbrellas. They're opening the umbrellas. He does this sort of dramatic pitch. I tried to give it a bit of that. Vince's pyjamas won't do up in the middle. He's standing in the window of his one-bedroom flat looking out. And you lot are going, what are you going on about? Why is he wearing pyjamas? And then...
Well, I was just going to say, what did Pat say about it?
Can't remember.
Nothing.
It's actually Stanley's... I think the only way
nonsense.
Yeah.
We could have elicited a worse reaction if we'd all stood up simultaneously and just pulled our trousers down in front of him. I think that's the only way we could have got a worse reaction.
Yeah.
Jane quite liked it. He said he quite liked it.
I think it was humouring us.
I think it's been nice to us, but then again, we didn't know. We didn't have any great faith in it, to be fair.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. As usually, it was some shit that made us laugh. Yeah.
I appreciate that, you know, Pat could have said more, but he was sparing our feelings.
Yeah.
But who knows? Three years down the line, we could be on our yacht.
Yeah, when FX come knocking for a TV series.
Yep.
Vince and his cat army. Yeah.
I think there's money to be made.
We can't be rowed out of this, Dan.
No.
Vince, Dan and Tony's cat army. I might have a rabbit army in the background, I think, you know, for the sequel.
What kind of rabbit?
You have a bee army. You have a bee army of bees.
Oh, can you imagine an army of bees? That'd be quite terrifying, actually.
Yeah, like a beard of bees.
Oh, Dan, would you wear a beard of bees?
Lord, no.
Oh. Well, he shot down that idea, Tony, so we'll have to go about it.
I think, to be fair, of everyone out of us, Dan does look the most fetching in a judge's helmet, doesn't he? We decided.
Yeah.
It's weird. Whenever I go paintballing and say, Dan, like, I've got the army stuff on. They go, you look really good in that kind of stuff. Suits you. And I get dressed up as a fucking fascist lawman. So, like, Dan, yeah, that really suits you. What are people trying to fucking say?
You bought a martial law t-shirt and your missus said it made you look like a Nazi.
Yeah. It's got kind of Nazi. There's a Nazi element to it, kind of a taste, as it were.
Pardon.
And she said, "Don't wear that into work." And I looked at her and thought, "Yeah, you're right, actually." Don't want those rumours to start up again.
I've just got an image of your house being a bit like that movie, The Night Porter.
Yeah.
We'll let everyone good night, Porter. There you go. Well done, everyone.
Yeah, I was a bit miffed because I ordered this fucking t-shirt for Saturday, and it turned up after about an hour. I'd left the house. So fantastic.
Classic post.
Good old Amazon Prime.
Yeah. So the Thrill Festival was a great day.
Yeah,
a long day. I think it showed, like, when you don't have a table, you can still be knackered at the end of the day, can't you?
Yeah.
We're all
them to go sit downs.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
we're like, I don't know. We're like really old men, aren't we?
Yeah, we've got matching badges, haven't we? We've got matching dread badges.
Yeah.
Wear them.
Yeah, we should wear them next time we're all together.
Yeah, good idea. Yeah. When they join together, something weird happens. Yeah.
Oh, what, like a sexy Power Ranger?
Kind of like docking.
Oh.
Can't really do it.
Look,
do that with three.
Hey, look. Dan's Urban Dictionary Corner is coming later on this episode.
Back.
So just be careful what you say to
You have to send me that because I can't remember which one it was.
Oh.
I'll write it down. Yeah.
So it was a cracking day. I think the next convention we're visiting will be at Leamington Comic Con.
Yep.
In March.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, so we're doing a panel at that as well, aren't we?
We are indeed.
I'm going to say it probably won't have as many people as the panel yesterday, to be fair.
No. If it got like a tenth of that, I'd imagine we'd be very happy.
Oh my God, a faint. Yeah.
What would you...
There must have been about... How many people do you reckon there were in the room for that? 500? 600?
Yeah. Mm. And all the people that can get in, which were many of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Good stuff.
All I know, I was there. And that was all that mattered to me.
Yeah.
Even though you tried to publicly humiliate me in...
There was no try.
There is no try.
Yeah, do or do you not. Do. There is no try.
But Sarah was sitting right behind me and you, and didn't know.
Right. Yeah. She knows all about furries.
That's going to come back to haunt you, Tony.
She's an absolute diamond, Sarah.
Yeah, really
nice.
Yeah,
yeah. I actually walked away. Loads of photographs, weren't there?
Yeah, I walked away from the event with a bit of. With some new threads as well. I've got myself a t-shirt and a hat.
Oh, didn't you?
And a bag, which I spent most of the day wearing like a handbag until Dan Butcher actually lengthened the strap for me.
Me and Dan were elbowing at each other going, why's he got a handbag on?
I couldn't figure it. I don't know. I was emasculated in the biggest way. Yeah. But thank you, Dan. Thank you.
No problem.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm sure you have half of her sorted that out when she saw it.
Yeah, what did your partner think when you got on the bus with your handbag?
Well, I shoved it in her face. Okay, what do you think of
look at this handbag?
Look at my bag. Hang on, that's a bit weird.
You had the Rouge Trooper hat on as well.
Rouge Trooper. Rouge Trooper. Yeah, I love Rogue Trooper.
I like Rogue Trooper. I do.
Yeah. So yeah, it was a great day. Yeah. So
very good. Yeah, next time we must go to more talks because you sort of wandered around. Because the thing is, like, kept meeting people, and then they go, "Oh, should we wander around with you?"
Yeah.
And then we'd wander around with them and have a laugh, and then the next person would appear, and it was a bit like that, wasn't it? So we sort of did the circuit quite a few times without buying anything, and we sort of chatted it to random people as we went round.
Yeah,
we did intend to get more audio, but I think the problem with it was so noisy in there, and everyone was so busy.
Yeah,
when you haven't got a table, they can come and sit behind with you. It's sort of more difficult, isn't it? You know.
It is, yeah. I mean, we were trying to grab creators, but they were busy drawing or talking to other fans. And
yeah, there's a lot of sketching going on, wasn't there? It was good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone seemed to be busy sketching. Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah.
So, last word, if you could use one word to describe it, how would you say?
Oh. Thrilling.
Dan?
Zarjazz.
Zarjazz, of course.
I'd say mega. Mega. Yeah. It was mega. So there you go. And it's the sort of thing we can't say, we'll go back next year.
No, we can go back in 10 years' time, can't we? I was saying to Adam, actually, I was going to buy a 40th anniversary T-shirt, but you can't really wear that and be cool in the next 20 years. You couldn't wear it at the 50th anniversary. You'd have to wear it at the 60th, wouldn't you, to be cool?
Yeah.
I reckon, you know.
Really? How does that work? Why?
Well, it's not cool wearing it at the next one, is it? You know.
Like, it's a bit too recent, isn't it?
Yeah, and it makes it much more retro, doesn't it?
I hear the word "cool" bandied about a lot, and you do know what kind of events we're talking about. Don't you?
To be fair, not
I look like I was wearing a handbag.
The 2000 AD crowd, we were like the epitome of cool there, and that
kind of hipster scene.
Yeah,
and you look at us—that's fucking saying something about them.
Saying that, it's also not the end of all the festivities. Shall I read out the two exhibitions?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Orbitalcomics.com. They've got Beyond 2000 AD, and it's the broader cultural impact of the galaxy's greatest comic, which if you ever listen to an interview we did with Jason Atomic, are we going to put that in a minute, are we?
We shall indeed, but carry
on. Yeah, he talks quite a lot about that, and it's very interesting. Orbital Comics and Rebellion celebrate 40 years of 2000 AD, so that's at Orbital Comics in London's West End. And also in London's West End is the Cartoon Museum, 35 Little Russell Street, who are doing Future Shock, 40 years of 2000 AD. And that is running till the 23rd of April. And that both have got, you know, just rafts of old artwork, you know, hard to see artwork. The Cartoon Museum has got stuff by Boland, Esquire, Dave Gibbons, Kevin O'Neill, you name it, it's up there. And Beyond 2000 AD have gone for a slightly different approach, but shall I say, if you listen to this interview with Jason Atomic, you'll probably hear quite a bit more about it. Jason's a really interesting guy.
Yeah.
And he does a lot of life drawing stuff, so
Why don't we put it in now?
Yeah.
Yes, while I was away looking at books and wondering where everyone else had gone, my lovely co-host actually managed to record an interview, and here it is for your listening pleasure. Dan and Tony with Jason Atomic.
With Jason Atomic, who runs the Life Drawing Collective.
Art Model Collective.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I've been to a few of the classes. They're absolutely fantastic. And I know you ran one last night on the 2000 AD theme.
Well, we did 2000 AD on Sunday. We opened the week of celebrations. We were the first event. And it went really well. We did a show called Muties and Perps. Where we looked at the kind of asymmetrical ugliness of the 2000 AD design, which really freaked me out as a young Marvelite, where, you know, a mutant in a Marvel comic's like this catalogue model that shoots laser beams from his eyes, and you get 2000 AD and they're like some deformed scum from a dole queue or something. Like,
who was drawing it when you started reading it then, Dredd? Was it?
Oh, I came into 2000 AD at issue one.
Oh, really?
I mean, I was that target audience. I was 10 when it came out. I'm going to be 50 next week, so like I'm 10 years older.
So, I mean, who would be your favourite artist then? Who you think, for you anyway, sum up Dredd?
Dredd? Ooh. McMahon.
Yeah.
I agree. The big boots and the shoulder pads and that really clunky kind of three-dimensional quality to it. I guess, in a way, it's kind of more like Jack Kirby.
Yeah.
That abstraction, it's like an abstraction from life, rather than trying to draw like a certain comic artist, which you might get from, maybe not so much from 2000 AD artists.
So I know you're a big Kirby fan as well, aren't you?
I am. I love Jack Kirby. I've curated shows
called I've been to
the King, yeah.
And that's a nice little segue. You're creating one... 2000 AD Beyond, is that what the name is?
The Beyond 2000 AD. I've been helping Carl at Orbital Comics curate that show all week. Got me back to my roots, cutting up old progs. I tore up a copy of number 2 and a copy of number 3 make some collages with.
Oh, really? Okay.
These were copies, I will qualify that, we're not just ripping things up at random. Okay. These were ones that were unsaleable because they had already been ripped, had pages missing.
Oh, yeah.
Issue 3 had penises drawn on every man in the book.
Is that yours, Dan? Did you nick your copy? I think I might have, yeah.
I don't usually give mine away. I keep them.
Yeah, someone brought it in and said his brother did it.
Okay, right, lying story.
How much is this comic worth? In its current condition. But also in the show there are my flesh and... My flesh and... Robusters fact files that I cut out and made,
nice.
And the flesh card game that I cut out and glued onto playing cards.
Yeah,
I'm hoping we might actually get a chance to play it.
That was cool. So when is that open now? Did it open this week?
That opened yesterday. Yeah. We're going to be rejigging it in the week. I've got a few records that I'm picking up tonight that are going to go in.
Okay.
I used to be in a band called the Czar Jazz.
Oh, did you? I never knew that.
80s. Okay. And actually, Madness had to add the extra Z. When they did the Fink Brothers, jazz, because our band had already got the name.
Oh, nice one. Are they available anywhere, those songs?
I think there might be one on YouTube, but there's a real sparsity of them.
Yeah.
There was, we did a
12-inch with three tracks on, I think. Three or four. Interblock Rock was the main track, and that was written in Mega City slang and Nadsat. In fact, the whole EP was.
Oh, nice. Really? Excellent. Yeah. Cool. So you said it was some of your original... Do you own original 2000 AD pages? Is that where you're going with it?
No, not me personally. We do have some. Gary Leach has of his collection.
Okay.
And, a couple of other people have brought original pieces in. But mostly we're focusing on the wider range of 2000 AD. So where it influenced the music industry, where people merchandised it, the looking at T-shirts and sort of the models, the role-playing games, all that kind of thing.
So what have you got coming up? Have you got any live drawing classes coming up soon? You had one that cancelled recently. Isn't that been... Do you have a deadline one recently?
We have Tank Girl with Rufus Dayglow. That's going to be on this coming Friday.
Okay.
That was sold out months ago, though. Rufus was ill, and we had to
put it across. Yeah.
And Art Model Collective do it twice a month at Underdog Gallery in London Bridge on a Tuesday night, twice a month in Bethnal Green at the Resistance Gallery on a Sunday afternoon.
Have you got a website for that?
At the moment, it's Facebook pages, but a website will be coming.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Thanks, dude. For that. Much appreciated.
All right, thank you.
Well, that was lovely. Considering it was probably the only decent and usable bit of audio we had all day.
We have got some grecky bits of audio of just us larking about and shouting at people.
Yeah. Yeah,
I was going through the audio to send to you today, and there's loads of bits where I pressed the record button and everyone's effing and seeing, and I've just stopped it again. So there's like bits of audio that are like 3 seconds long.
Yeah. Actually, we did get one major piece of audio with a big name creator, didn't we?
Should
we chuck that in now?
This is a real coup for us, isn't it?
A real coup. Should we say who it is, or should we let them find out on the audio?
Yeah, you can say if you like. Yeah.
We spoke to John Wagner, didn't we? That was exciting. So here's the audio of that. So I'm here at the 2000 AD Thrill Festival, or whatever it's called. And I'm sat here in the bar. Daniel Butcher has gone for a wee, and now I'm sat with John Wagner. John, what brings you to this event?
You right?
Great stuff. So, have you got anything in the pipeline coming up?
Not much, no.
Brilliant. Have you had much to drink today?
Yeah, a couple of Cokes.
Are you Scottish?
Aye.
Have you ordered food?
No.
Would you like to?
Not sure.
Should we look at the menu?
All right, I'll be back in a minute.
So what do you think of that, Dan? Because you didn't get a chance to listen to it, did you?
He must have been gone when you came back, was he? Taking a little trip off and then came back, and I'd missed that whole interview. So I look forward to listening to that when I listen to the show on Monday.
Oh, it'll be a nice little surprise for you, won't it?
Yeah.
You mean the bit of audio that I entitled "Not John Wagner" when I said it? I should have said, not fucking John Wagner at all. That should be the name for the audio.
Although I still think it was an insightful and professional interview that was...
Yeah, what a great accent that actor had who was playing him.
Yeah, actor? Oh, Jesus. yes, there you go, folks. Do we have any shout-outs? Or where should we go from now?
Oh, it's hard to follow that on, isn't it?
Yeah. You know what
I mean? Yeah, I got a couple of shout-outs. Nottingham Comic Con tables are open again. So 14th of October this year, nottinghamcomiccon.co.uk or at Nottingham Comic on Twitter. We've got a table, haven't we? I know, I think Matt Harrow has got one. I think the Improper Books guys are going. And I think Mark Lamming will be back again. I think he's already got a table, actually, from what you're saying today. So that's going to be a great old event. And it's highly recommended. So head down to that one. We had a great laugh last year, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Mm. Yeah, really good. And Ken Reynolds, Slice Quarterly, is on Kickstarter. I'm not just pumping this because I think I'm a stretch goal, or whatever you call it, in it. I think I'm one of them.
Have you ever been a stretch goal before, Tony?
No, I haven't. I'm quite excited by it, to be fair. Yeah, it feels sexy and free, is how I'm going to say it feels.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so go to Kickstarter, look up Sliced Quarterly. I know he's just passed his target, but there's loads of good stuff coming on that campaign. And I think he's got about a week to go. I'm contacted by Simon Russell, friend of the show, and also he works at the weekends at the Cartoon Museum. He's got a pop-up shop as part of the Brighton Artists Open House Festival on the 13th of May. So we'll be talking a bit more about this in the future. If you go to facebook.com/comic pop-up, you'll find it. And it's just sort of encouraging kids to do a bit, to read comics more. I think there's quite a sort of highfalutin, very expensive art scene around this Brighton Artists Open House, but what you want to see, bring it back to the grassroots and get kids reading, you know, comics and encourage them to do art as well. I think it's a good little thing. So that we'll be talking a bit more about that in the future, but that's just an early eye on it. That's me.
Lovely.
That's awesome.
Dan,
I've got one.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, on Monday when you'll be listening to this, the El Marvo Kickstarter should have kicked off.
By
Luke Condor, which whose birthday was today, Sunday.
Today, isn't it? Yeah, happy birthday, Luke. Yeah,
happy birthday.
And Ben Errington, and that should be going live, so we'll hopefully post up details on the Facebook page and check it out and see if it's your cup of tea and you'd like to back it.
Cool. I say there's a lot of Kickstarters at the moment, isn't there? It's Kickstarter crazy at the moment. It's all sort of taken off again, isn't it?
I wonder if it's kind of like people say, well, don't do a Kickstarter in January because no one's got any fucking money in January.
Yeah, don't do it over Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah, so leave it till February and everyone's doing one.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting. And alongside that, you've got the Reynard City one going on, the Platinum Collection, the Reynard City Chronicles. There's a number. I've backed a few.
Yeah.
I'm actually taking a break from backing Kickstarters at the moment, and it's not because of any, you know, the quality of any of these Kickstarters. It was literally, I almost burnt myself out with, you know when you have a couple of months when you think, oh shit, when they all get collected at the same time, they all get launched, you know, they get success, and you think, oh no, I didn't factor that in. I forgot I pledged to that.
You got to space them out.
Yeah. Although it is nice, like, receiving books when you completely forget about them. So that's always cool. But
When I'm backing the American ones, I always get the digital, and then obviously it gets emailed to me, and then I just completely fucking lose that. And then there's one I got that went through in November, and I thought a couple of weeks, where's that fucking comic gone? So I mentioned, spoke to the bloke, said, I don't think I got it. And he said, yeah, I did. And he checked his email and went, I sent it out to you on this date. And I was like, oh, sorry.
In fact, I got sent through some Wii transfers today or in the last week to review. And because I've not been near my PC, I haven't really looked at them yet. So sometimes it's not until you sit down at your computer, is it, that you sort of do the Wii transfer thing. Because my tablet's a bit old and it takes a while to sort of get going. So sometimes it doesn't always transfer over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we do want to say,
I've been sending a few on my phone
recently. Yeah.
Sorry, mate.
Most of the time I'm on my phone, so...
Yeah. I'll get you.
We do want to say a big thanks to all the people who have been sending in comics recently.
Yeah, I've got a few now to talk about.
We've got a few over the next few weeks, I think, we're going to talk about.
And we've got some cracking guests on the bubble at the moment as well. We're just sort of sorting dates out. So, and there's a couple of guys we spoke to about being guests, so we'll be contacting you in the next few days, I think, with some dates and stuff. Yeah, it'd be nice. Yeah.
Basically, I'm going to have to get my Excel spreadsheet out again, aren't I?
That for a while.
I hate spreadsheets. Who actually does like them? Do you like spreadsheets?
No, I don't.
I don't really understand. I keep it very simple, like everything in my life.
Yeah.
But shall we? Have we got any books to talk about? I mean, I've got one that sort of ties into what we were just talking about, actually.
Yeah. Go on, you do yours first. Go on.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Thank you very much, Tony. We had an email that came through to us from Joseph Oliveira. I hope I got that right. And this is what the email said. I thought I'd read the email out as well because it was a lovely email. He said, "Hi, guys. I've been listening to your podcasts over the last 2 months now. It has me in stitches most of the time." Oh, God. He's... he probably judges us on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
"It's been especially helpful to myself as I've recently self-published my first book and launched it at True Believers. And I can't believe I missed you guys." He didn't get much time away from his table. But he is going to be at London Super Comic Con later this year. So we'll have
to. Oh, okay. Nice one.
Yeah. So my first con went smoothly, and I like to attribute some of that success to one of your podcasts. You talked about conventions and experiences with traders. So thanks for that.
Oh, nice one.
That's nice. With that in mind, he sent through a copy of his book, Ghost Island, issue one. Now, here's the little, which I managed to get a chance to read this week. Here's the little blurb about it. Ghost Island, The Invitation, issue one. It's a 44-page black and white, and it's a supernatural thriller. So, on a remote island, a wealthy entrepreneur has secretly created a theme park full of imprisoned ghosts he has collected over time. Before opening the attraction to the public, he enlists the help of a small group of people to assist him, one of them being Josh Evans, a troubled psychic with a dark past. Whilst he battles his own personal demons, Josh is scheduled the task of crossing over and exploring some of the evil minds of the ghosts that lie within the island. But at what cost? It's going to be a 5-issue series by Joseph, who's written it, and Annabella Turlione, I hope I got that right.
Hey.
She's the artist. And lettering by Justin Birch. Now, issue one, like I said, 44 pages, a lovely professional sort of finish to it. And what I knew I'd be, it's a brilliant hook. It's sort of, that hook immediately reminded me of like films like House on Haunted Hill or like 13 Ghosts, you know, those classic sort of horror setups. So I was immediately in, and I really, really, really like this first issue. It had, the writing's brilliant, just the setup for the whole, who this Josh character is, how he's got issues and troubles. But there's this wonderful sort of eerie island where him and a small supporting cast get taken. There's a couple of journalists there. There's a father and his son. There's lots of weirdness going on. You know, you've got creepy people that sort of work on the island. And the entrepreneur is one of the classic sort of... He's clearly... Well, he seems to be quite evil. Because he's got a mansion, and behind that mansion is an old asylum on this island. And that's where all the ghosts are within this asylum, and he wants to turn this into a, like I say, a theme park or some sort of holiday destination. And the first issue is very much a setup, but in a great kind of way. You know, things are just about to kick off by the time it's finished, but by the end of it, I already know what the characters' motivations are. I've already sort of judged them in their own way. The guy that invited people to the island, he only invited a specific number of people, and there are people actually on the island that aren't supposed to be there. So I think that ties into it. That reminded me of something like House on Haunted Hill, which is one of my favourite horror films. But it was great. I'm certainly up for issue two as well. Considering it's the first self-published book as well, I was very impressed by it. So big thumbs up. Joseph's going to be at a few cons coming up. I think he's doing an MCM Birmingham, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, find out more about the comic from ghostislandcomic.com. He's got a facebook.com/ghostislandcomic. He did a successful Kickstarter campaign for it, which we'll put a link in the show notes. And he didn't... What I liked about the Kickstarter campaign, even though it's a 44-page sort of book, the goal wasn't huge. He kept it, it seems to me like he's kept it simple and just enough for what he needed to get the book done.
Okay.
There's a lot of Kickstarters out there. They seem to want, sometimes I look at the goal that they want and I just think, why do you need that much?
Yeah, we've mentioned that a few times recently, haven't we? Some very high goals on Kickstarters.
Yeah. So I'm glad it was a success, because the book's really nice. I'm looking forward to seeing more and meeting Josh. Joseph in person. So yeah, Josh is the character in the book. That's how much I liked it. It's just it's actually stuck in my head. So definitely check it out, and I'm looking forward to seeing more. So I hope this does well on his convention tour this year. So there you go. That's my one.
Nice one. I was just going to talk about a present I got from Pat and Lisa yesterday, which is Robusters, the Complete Nuts and Bolts Volume 2. You know, there's this theory that when you're 11 and 12, you know, things have a bigger effect on you than they do later on, because you become sort of desensitized to stuff, don't you? You know, and that's a sort of a prime age for when stuff, you know, it gets in behind your eyeballs and it has an emotional effect on you sometimes, or, you know, it has a big effect on you for whatever reason. And so a lot of these strips came out when I was 11 and 12 and stuff like that. And let's face it, I think we all realise that the world that a lot of the 2000 AD characters inhabit can be a cruel and, you know, a cruel and terrible place, can't it, sometimes, you know?
Mm, definitely.
You don't really expect everyone to come out of something unscathed.
No.
You know, and a lot of the great writers of 2000 AD, they play with you, and the characters will get killed off, and there's a sort of tug at the heartstrings, or there's just this sort of... The inevitability of mortality that hits you, and you think, oh fuck, he's killed him, you know, or the world's just ended, or, you know, they've just blown up a city or something like that, you know, strange stuff like that. But so Robusters is one of these books that came out at the time, and I was reading it today, and it starts off with the Terramex, which is, I think, it featured in Progs 98 to 101. And it's often thought of as some of Dave Gibbons' best work, not just in 2000 AD, but possibly in comics as well. You know, I'd probably put it as some of my favourite work of his. And it's got a sort of real, a real sort of British comics feel to it, but done in that clean line style that Dave's sort of well known for, you know. So it's about a giant robot called Charlie. So I was surprised at this story because it didn't actually really, apart from Mechquake, who's in it, it didn't really feature the main robots, you know, Hammerstein and Rojors from Robusters and you know, and the ABC Warriors that feature so heavily in most of their stories. But what it does is it features around a story called Charlie. And Charlie's like this monstrous sort of Transformers-sized robot who works in the docks of a coastal town in the UK called Northpool. And what basically his job is to save boats that get in trouble out at sea. But as is typical with Pat makes him the common man. Pat makes him the Charlie from Charlie's War, you know. He makes him this character who's just a hard-working, although he's a sort of skyscraper-sized robot, he's just this sort of hard-working guy, you know, who's beloved of the city. And they all sort of, you know, go to him when they have problems, and there's a school trip on him once a year, and the local vicar goes and talks to him and all this sort of thing. But what happens is Howard Quartz, who's the sort of sometimes boss, mostly villain of Robusters, who's the robot with the human brain in his head, you know what I mean, that one, and a local councillor stroke businessman, they decide that they're going to demolish Northpool, and they're going to put all the houses underground, and they've got these and the Terramex who are going to come and destroy the town, and all the townspeople are sort of up in arms, you know, what's going to happen to our town? Oh, but we can rely on Charlie, and Charlie's this sort of almost like a pacifist robot. He's just sort of a builder robot, you know, he sort of saves ships and builds the things at the dockyards and stuff like that. But what he does is that the Terramex begin to attack the town, and there's just some outstanding design work on these robots by Dave Gibbons. Tyrannomech, Fantastomech, and my favorite at the time was King Conker, who's a big old... Yeah, these robots make Mechquake look tiny. In you know, they sort of absolutely tower over him, like he's standing in front of a skyscraper, you know, over him. And there's this sort of huge fight that ensues between Charlie and these robots. And at one point, you think Charlie is killed, because he goes under the water, and it actually really tugs at your heartstrings, you know, really does. But the town sort of rallies behind, and they start singing "Walking Through the Wind, Walking Through the Rain," and they sing this song as he sort of rises out from under the water, and it's just this like really touching moment. And I think this is what 2000 AD does so well, because you don't always think, well, of course he's not going to die because he's Captain America, or, you know, something like that. You know, there's that chance that something's going to happen, and you're going to go, oh my God, that's awful. You know, but he sort of rises up and sort of wins the day. And there's this great moment, a sort of splash page, which is the last one together. And it says, Charlie had come home, the future would not be easy for the city, but the people of Northpool and Charlie would face it together. And it's this sort of incredibly touching time that was directly paralleling, you know, the death of British industry and, you know, the death of the dockyards and, you know, the steelworks and stuff like that was going on in the late 70s and early 80s. Incredible story when you think that this was told in a kids' comic. By two sort of real giants of their profession, you know, Pat and Dave Gibbons. Further into the volume, it's a big hardback volume. You know, it's got an awful lot of issues in it. And it's got Kevin O'Neill, does loads of stuff. Mick McMahon. There's a Steve Dillon story, which I remember sort of at the time was Bax the Burner, who's this guy who goes around melting robots. And I remember thinking at the time, oh my God, that's frightening. Is he going to kill the robots, you know? And at one point, he does actually quite badly melt Hammerstein. This is just this really good story, but it's also backed up with the fact that he's fallen out with his girlfriend and he's trying to find a way to get back out with her, you know. Really, really great stuff. I recommend any of these hardbacks. They've done Robust, they've done ABC Warriors, and they've done a few other things, and they're just beautifully put together packages. And for an oversized hardback that is quite a few hundred pages long, it doesn't have a page count on it, but it's got to be quite a few hundred pages long, with loads of extra material and covers and pin-ups at the back, and it is only £25, which is an absolute steal, especially since there was, I think it was about £20 at the convention yesterday. But I got this as a gift, which is very kind of Pat and Lisa. But yeah, it's a really, really nice book. Really great stuff. Okay, that's my one.
Nice one.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Like I say, we've got a lot of books in, and I think fairly soon, we'll have to do another just books episode like we did recently.
Yeah. Yeah, I've actually put off the books I was going to review this week because I wanted to keep it. Yeah. I knew we were going to talk a lot about 2018, but I've got two already for next week, so we're going to have to do another big review show, aren't we?
Yeah,
so.
I've got a few as well, but yeah, I just had to mention Joseph's book. So there you go. It's a shorter, sharper one this week, isn't it, really?
Yeah, we're a bit tired and emotional, aren't we?
A little bit tired, a little bit emotional. It takes a lot out of me, being with you two.
Went out for a nice lunch, didn't we?
Yeah,
quite a nice day.
It was a really good night, though.
Yeah. It was lovely. What a wonderful loving we're having this week.
Yeah. I was saying, stark contrast to the piss taking we did yesterday, which didn't stop all day.
Yeah. Well, I actually had a sore throat going home, thinking, fucking hell, the amount of shouting I did at people. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, but if you were at the 2008 event, it was wonderful to see you, and if you weren't, then it was a shame you couldn't be there.
Yeah, there's quite a few listeners there we talked to, wasn't there?
Yeah,
you know? Yeah.
So but next week it shall be business as usual, and we've got an exciting guest coming up who we talked about their work fairly recently. So
We'll be letting you know soon about that, won't we?
We'll be letting you know in the next couple of days, which should be sexy. Let us know what you thought of this episode, though. Was it not long enough for you? We're tough. We're tired. let us know if you were at 2008 AD and you missed us. Then let us know. I'm sure I missed a load of people. I've certainly forgot about a load of people. But there you go. There's several different ways you can get in touch with us, or if you've got books, because we're up for reading some new small press and indie books and getting the word out. Like I say, if we're going to do some more comic book review exclusive shows, we want to see some awesome new stuff coming up. So
yeah, or if you've got anything drop in at Leamington Spa as well, then let us know, because we'd like to chat to you about that as well, I think.
Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely. So get in touch with us, awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Likewise, any events or announcements or anything, you can also get in touch with tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at The Awesome Pod, where we will have the announcement of this week's guest. And I might even sneak out another poll.
Oh,
that's
cool. Yeah,
I
see that. Yeah.
So, so get involved, because we like those. Dan doesn't get involved with them now, because he refuses.
Wants to be a surprise.
Don't vote on them. No, because I don't want to see the result.
Exactly. You just want every week to be a surprise, don't you?
Yeah, keep a bit of spark in the show. It lacks a lot of it, so.
Sick burn by our own son. Unbelievable. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast, and get involved on the group Awesome Comics Talk. Still lively, still lots of people posting lots of cool stuff.
I would like to do a patron episode. Someone who kind of really knows their stuff. I know Jen Gilbert really hot on that kind of stuff.
Mm. Right, I think, doesn't she?
Yeah,
that'd be kind of good to have an episode where we kind of focus, maybe not a whole episode, but certainly part of it we can focus on.
I think Prolix has done quite a lot research into it as well.
And it's becoming more and more, like, I see more and more creators doing them. So I definitely, and I don't know anything about them.
So no, me neither.
I think we'll definitely do an episode focused on that in the future.
Well, I was asked for advice, and I find it hard to give out reliable advice, because I can't see what's doing well and what isn't. So I wouldn't want to say do X when Y is doing better. Do you know what I mean?
Don't trust you. Is that what you're saying?
On this one, do not trust me.
Yeah.
Well, trust me in the fact when I say don't ask me because I don't know.
I tell you what, we always trust you for though, and that's your Urban Dictionary corner.
Oh,
yeah. So you know what it is this week, don't you, Dan?
I do.
But shall we just tell the listeners what we gave him?
Well, it's been changed quite recently, but it's seagulling.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
we're bird watching fans, aren't we?
Yeah,
you heard this one.
Are we going to
save it till after the things, or do it now?
No, let's fucking do it now. What is seagulling, Dan?
It says top definition, as if there's more than one definition to this act.
I'm bracing myself.
Seagulling, when you whack off and come in your hand, then run up to someone, slap them in the face with your salty hand and shout, "Seagulled." And in context, I sure do love seagulling. Matt seagulled me now, and my cheek feels fertile.
I don't believe anyone's ever said that. That's made up. Yeah, I like it though.
I've never heard of that expression.
Well, I believe the history of this is that it was invented by status quo. This may be an urban myth, so don't status quo sue me, but that they used to do it off the top of balconies and throw it off, and people used to go, "Oh, seagulls." But
Lord.
Oh, dear God.
Which makes me want to buy their terrible records more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Somehow.
If I'd have done that, it'd have been like that scene in the end of Ghostbusters where the Stay Puft starts.
It's like someone is throwing a bucket of water over face to someone. Yeah.
Oh, this smells slightly rancid as well.
But we'd like to say, don't try that on anyone. Don't whack off in your hand and slap people on the head with it.
No.
It's not a good thing to do.
Doesn't go down well.
No, we know that for a fact.
That meeting in HR told me that.
So there you go, folks. We thought we'd sign off with it with something special for you.
Yeah, something special for you.
So,
nice.
Thank you for listening to us on the website awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on iTunes, leave us a review. Let us know what you think.
Yeah.
The more people know about this show, the more people will listen, and the more people will learn things. Apparently, people learn things.
Apparently,
show. I certainly just learned maybe the dictionary corner is a bad idea.
I just remembered that we didn't mention Martin Simmons and Mike Garley in our names.
Yes, the wonderful Garley and Simmons.
Yeah.
Both on the rise. But
definitely.
Lovely to see them. Yeah. But we might be talking more about them fairly soon.
Who knows?
Who knows? Also, thank you for listening to us, whether it was on the Stitcher network or on the Podnose network. And where can people find us online, etc.? Mr. Esmond.
Ezohyz, on Down the Tubes. I've written some stuff this week, so John will be putting that up soon. There you go.
Lovely. Dan, where can people find you?
Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at VanguardComic.com.
Cool, that was quick.
I've got to get that back to the top speed.
Oh, that's impressive. And Vanguard, which is back in full swing.
Thank you.
Cheers. I'll tell you what, mate, I was really impressed with the little pitch you gave over the meal last night, and somebody asked you what it's about. Yeah, really good. Yeah, you got that
kind of
hat now.
I tailored it quite well for the audience.
Yeah, but kind of like, it made it, you know, it is interesting, and it made it sound interesting, so it did the right thing, you know?
Oh, brilliant. Thanks. Yeah. Cheers.
There you go. Everyone should check that out. You can follow me on Twitter at Jester Diablo, and you can follow that more about my comic at theredmaskfrommars.com. So there you go. Another one in the bag. Cool. We're all a bit tired because we had such a lovely weekend. Back to the norm and back to the usual next week. So God help us, everyone.
Yep. Back to the grind.
Yeah.
But until then, have a lovely week, everyone. Read lots of cool comics. Lots of indie and small press comics. I've been seeing some cool ones on Comixology recently, actually.
I've just literally been sent one, so just arrived, so I'm looking forward to reading that.
No one likes a shelf.
I know.
with that in mind, from Tony, Dan, and myself, just have a great week, and as always, stay awesome. See ya.
See ya.
See ya.